Good morning, Generations Church. Okay, right, this morning, it's a new day, and so I have notes to go along with my sermon this morning that you can fill in the blanks for. So I know I sent my little girl round, and I know that loads of you just kind of smiled at her, folded it up and put it in your pocket. If you want to get it back out, okay, if you've not got any notes, if you just want to, James is going to come and give you some notes. Okay, you can fill them in as we go along. It will tell you when I'm nearly finished. So, which I always think is a plus, unless the Lord comes and reveals something else, and then you can blame him. Okay, and but we're going to be looking this morning. Last week, we started looking at change, and we began to talk about the fact that as we go into the next season, there's going to be some change. And this morning, I've entitled what I'm going to speak about, that simply this, that change makes way for growth. Who wants to grow? Who wants our church to grow? Okay, yeah. I want our church to grow. And so I realize that actually sometimes for growth to come into our lives, there needs to be some change sometimes. There needs to be change maybe in what we do, maybe in the way that we think. And but this morning I want to talk to us about that just for a few moments. And you see this, when God creates anything, he creates it with the capacity to grow. Okay, when God creates anything, he creates it with the capacity to grow. So you look at a seed, okay, my kids come home from school, and it used to be worse when they were in nursery, and they would come home with like the cress seeds in the cotton wool, and the seeds are tiny, yet what they produce is bigger than what they are. Okay, whenever God creates anything, and baby Samuel's second time in church this morning, when God creates anything, he creates it with the potential to grow. Yeah. If Sammy, that's it, that's what you're calling him, if Sammy is the same size this time next year as what he is today, there's going to be a problem with that. Okay, and I look at him and think, my boy was once that size. Anyone else do that when they see new babies? And like, my boy's huge. And I looked at him and I thought, in fact, when he was born, he was smaller than Sammy. Okay, and because God creates things with the potential for it to grow. Do you know what? God has created this house for growth. He's not created us to stay as we are. He's created us to grow. Something starts from a seed and then grows into something else. And both personally and corporately, we can't begin to rest where we're at. We've got to be looking, God, how can we grow? How can we change? What can we do to bring in everything that you have got for us? And do you know what I've realized over the last few months, few years? Is when we grow individually, inevitably we will grow corporately. When you spend time growing your life, it will grow our church. Okay? Because growth is not just about numbers, although it will come in that form. Growth is also about how we move on in God. It's about the stories that we tell. It's about the stuff that we allow God to do in us. And as we grow as individuals, it's got to have a knock-on effect into the life of our church. And so our church will begin to grow in many, many, many different ways. I've watched over the last 3 years since we changed the way we do small groups, I've watched Family Connect, and it is like the joy of my life. And it really, really is. I absolutely love it. Okay, and you know, there's like 30 people come in. I know that doesn't sound like a very small group, okay, but that's including children. There's like about 25, 30 of us come in on a Tuesday night. We eat together, the kids all scream, they all have tantrums at the table because they're in pasta again. And you know, and we just kind of come together, we eat, we spend time with one another, kids come up and play, and I've just loved watching that group grow. And it has grown numerically, but I've loved watching what God is doing in their lives. You see, because when we grow individually, this thing corporately will grow. And that has got to be true of the church today. And if you look back into the history of church, there were certain changes that happened after Jesus went to heaven that brought incredible growth to the church. And they were never changes that the then church would have wanted. Okay, so we're going to take a look at those. There's three things. Okay, so the first three dots. Okay, I'm keeping you there with your notes, all right? So three changes happened after Jesus went to heaven. Number one, the Holy Spirit fell. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Do you know what? This was the greatest change to ever happen in the history of the church. Because all of a sudden, God went from living around us to living within us. All of a sudden, it wasn't like, you know, we were hanging out with Jesus in that sense anymore. It wasn't that God lived with us. It's that he lived in us. And it brought the greatest change to faith. Because all of a sudden, when you feel empowered by the Holy Spirit, you know, when you feel empowered by God and you go, God, this could actually happen. This thing could actually take off. And so one of the greatest changes to the church was that the Holy Spirit fell. Secondly, Paul was converted. He was Saul and then became Paul. Okay, but the apostle Paul came to faith. Acts 9 verses 18 to 20 says this: "Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God." Can you imagine that? Paul was the greatest terrorist to Christians, to the people of God. And we live in a world today where all you've got to do is flick the news on. He was the greatest terrorist to the people of God that was around in that day. And all of a sudden, he came to faith and began to preach the word of God. I can imagine that there were some Jews and there were some people, Israelites, who were a bit ticked off with that. It was a change to the church. This person who had persecuted is now actually telling people about God. But the thing about Paul, and this is the third thing that happened to change the church after Jesus went to heaven, is that Gentile churches were beginning to form. Basically, Generations Church. Because up until that point, God had been for the Jews. God had been for his chosen people. And even though the Apostle Paul in the book of John chapter 3 verse 16 says this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Up until that point, actually what God's people believed was God loves us. And that's it. And all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul, greatest terrorist to the then church, all of a sudden gets saved. And he begins to preach the gospel to people who were not God's people. To people who were not part of the gang, who were not part of the group. And all of a sudden, churches began to form that were not full of the people that you think they should be full of. It was a huge church. And my guess is that the then church wanted none of it. And what you found was that Peter predominantly preached to the Jews and Paul, the apostle, predominantly preached to the Gentiles. And this morning I want to tell you, change has always been there. It's always been there. It's always been a part of church life, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, for the then followers of Jesus Christ, for those who loved God, for those who believed that they were God's people, there was massive, massive change. Bigger change than what we're going to go through in the next few months. But I want to say the church grew and God was made famous and great things began to happen. And so I want to say to us this morning that change back then brought growth that was absolutely off the charts. And it would never have been change that people would have chosen, but it was change that was necessary. Do you know what? There are seasons where growth can only come about by us putting to one side the things that we think we know and allowing God to change us. I think I'm okay to tell this story, but if I'm not, the boss will tell me off if he ever hears it. But a few years ago, when the guys were bringing me into eldership, we are under the umbrella of AOG, and we're also part of something called the Breakthrough Network. And the Breakthrough Network is pretty much where we're fathered, really, and where if we ever need any advice, that's where we go. And I can remember sitting with the guy who heads that up. His name's John Pettifer. He's coming over next week, so you can all tell him I said nice things about him. And I can remember sitting with him, and he looked at me and he said, "Joe, we're about to lay hands on you to become an elder." He says, "My only problem is this." And I knew what his problem was. I'd known it a long time. He says, "My problem is I don't agree with what I'm about to do, but I just know that it's right." You see, he He's a brilliant, phenomenal Bible teacher and has always had a problem with women in leadership. And he said, but this is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to go back to the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me again. And a guy who had known what he believed for so long, for the sake of growth, for the sake of change, for the sake of God being able to do something, went, I'm going to go back to the drawing board and I'm going to ask God again and I'm going to begin to pray. And you know, laid hands on me, became an elder of the church, and then a few years later was like, can't quite believe this one now either. He was the one who came and brought me in to be the minister of this house. You see, sometimes we've got to put aside a few things for change to come. This is how we've always done it. Well, if we want a different result, let's change maybe how we've always done it. I'm not saying that we change the Bible. You should never change that. But what I am saying is that actually we should allow God to come and begin to work on us in those areas that he needs us to change. So what? So we can grow. So we can grow personally and so we can grow corporately. We're going to turn to Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. I'm reading from the Message version. It simply says this: God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. He is, his very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And then we can turn to Luke 2. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Luke 2, 51 to 52 says this: So he went back to Nazareth with them, that's with his parents, and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly deep within herself, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Do you know what? God wants us to grow this morning. God wants you to grow. He wants this house to grow. He wants, he wants our lives to grow. He wants our knowledge to grow. He wants our faith to grow. God this morning does not want us to be the same this time next year as what we are right now. God wants there to be growth. Growth is always on God's agenda. But this is what I want to really bring to us this morning as we get into the meat of our message, is that growth needs to be intentional. We said that last week. It's not just going to happen. And what I want to do this morning is there are certain laws to growth, whether it is in business, whether it's in church, whether it is in our personal life, whether it is in, it doesn't matter where it is, there are certain laws to growth. And I want to take two of them this morning, okay? I have nicked them from John Maxwell. I will fully and utterly hold my hands up there, okay? But just reading his stuff on the laws of growth, I want to take two this morning that I want to speak into our lives. And number one is this. Is the law of consistency. If we want to grow, we've sometimes just got to keep doing what we're doing. Motivation may get you started, but it's discipline that will bring the results. Okay, motivation may get you started. I was flicking through Facebook just this morning and just kind of looking at what some people have put, and someone said, you know, someone had said something about going to the gym. Yeah, I just need the motivation to get there. I did want to put, but I didn't. Actually, no, you need the discipline. The motivation made you sign up. The motivation made you get the membership. The discipline's going to get you going there. Okay, is what I wanted to put, but I was a little bit too pastoral. Okay, so I didn't. I'll say it to the person to their face instead. Okay, but I want to say to you this morning, motivation will get you going, but it won't take you anywhere. It's not going to take you anywhere. It's not going to take you anywhere to change. It's not going to take you anywhere different. Discipline is what will take you places. Unless motivation is replaced with discipline and consistency, you will fail in your objectives. You will. There is nothing more surer than that. Do you know what? Every day works. Let me explain what I mean by that. When you do something every day, it works. Someday never works. Someday I'm going to go to the gym. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do that. Do you know what? Someday doesn't work because someday never actually arrives. Yesterday doesn't work. Just because you did something yesterday doesn't mean that it's going to work for you today. There are things in life when we want to grow that we just need to do every single day. We can underestimate what we can do when we do something on repeat. And this morning, I want to talk to you very briefly about five things that will help us grow if we do them every day. Number one, first thing that will help us grow, dot one, okay, is that we need to have God time. We need to get back to the place, actually, where we teach people you need to spend time with Jesus Christ. Okay, your relationship with him is not just going to grow because you rock up to church. It's going to grow because you daily spend time with him. Yeah. Time with God consistently will bring about growth in every area of your life. But this is where we fall short. You see, sometimes we make time with God a duty. Sometimes we make time with God, you know, I have to do this, the pastor says, or my connect group leader says, or my youth pastor says, so I have to get it done. Every time I approach God in that way, I fail. Anyone else do that? Every time it's a chore, every time it's a, I've got to do it, we fail. But this is the reality. If we shift back to Genesis chapter 1, to when God created the earth, this is what God said. When he had made Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us, in the first few chapters of Genesis, that every day God would go and walk with Adam and Eve. So every evening they had their God time. Okay? Every evening they would walk through the garden and Adam, what have you done today? And they would have a conversation, probably like I have with my kids around the dinner table. Maybe slightly different as if my kids are allowed to steer the conversation. I don't think God would have talked about that to Adam and Eve. But you know, they were just having the conversation every day, every evening, same time, every day. He would walk with them. You see, it wasn't about Adam and Eve having a devotion. It wasn't about them, okay, oh, God's about to rock up. We better get over to where we're meant to meet him. Do you know what? Do you know what it was about? It was about God, the creator of the universe, wanted to be with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to spend time with them. Do you know this morning that your God time is not just about you? It's not just about you. Do you know that God, the creator of the universe, wants to spend time with you? You know, I just have this picture. You can't find it in the Bible. This is preacher's license. But I just have this picture of when I find that space and that place where I'm going to spend time with God, God goes, great. Josiah. She's come. Fantastic. Just going to spend some time with her. Brilliant. Charlotte comes and he's like, Charlotte, absolutely brilliant. You know, we spent time yesterday together, but let's spend some more time today together. And God just wants to spend time with you. And we read the story of when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Bible tells us that Adam went and hid. And then when the evening came, God came into the garden and he called out for Adam like he did every other day. Because actually, God wanted to spend time with him. Do you know what? God knew what he'd done. Because he's God. Do you know what? God knows what you did yesterday. He knows everything you thought. He knows everything you did. He knows what you're thinking about doing today. He knows some of you now that are going, okay, another few minutes, then we can go and get our lunch. He knows exactly what's going on every moment of every day. God knows, and yet he still wants to spend time with us. Adam went and hid because of his sin, and when we do things wrong, we kind of hide from God. The first thing to go when we do stuff wrong, when there's sin in our life, is our time with God, right? Second thing to go is our time in church, because actually we just can't cope with it. But I'm here to say to you this morning, it's not just about you spending your 15 minutes or whatever with God. It's about the fact that God wants to be with you. The creator of the universe, can we get some excitement in the place this morning? The creator of the universe wants to spend time with you. Yeah. Our time with God will change when we realize it's not a duty we have to do, but it's actually not just us spending time with God, it's him spending time with us. Yeah. His creation, the one that he loves, the one he created. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 in the Message version says this, and a lot of you will know this passage of scripture. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Three words that we need to take from that scripture when it comes to having time with God. Number one is we need to trust that God knows what's best for us. There needs to be trust between us and God. When you come to him and when you're having time with God, God, I trust that you know what's best for me. You know more than I do. You see what's going to be happening in 5 years' time. You see what's going to be happening in 5 minutes' time. And God, you know everything about me. So I'm going to come to you and I'm going to trust you. Second thing that we need to do from Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says this. It says that we're to listen. Because God will tell you what's best for you. But if you never spend time with him, you will never hear what is best for you. We need to trust that God knows, and then we need to listen to what he's telling us. So I've always known God knows what's better for this place more than I do. But there's got to be a time when I've gone, God, I need to listen. That's when he just began to bring Psalm 145 verse 4 over and over again. You know, the more I listened to it, the more I heard it. I'd go to conferences or other meetings and it'd be read out. And it's a verse that God laid on my heart probably about 16 years ago, actually, if truth be told. But all of a sudden, God began to speak and I began to listen. Trust that he knows what's best for you. Second, listen that and believing that he will tell you what's best for you. And thirdly, it says that we are to run to God. Because you know what? You have no idea what's best for you. We can have our ideas, we can have our plans, but you know what? God knows best. He's willing to tell you if you are willing to run away from some of those things that maybe you think are best that he doesn't. This morning, if we are going to grow, we have got to consistently come before God and have time with him. Secondly, we need to have gift time. Do you know what? It's up to us to discover what our unique gifting is and then to put time into it to develop it. What is your unique gifting in God? Some of you may go, I don't have any giftings. Absolute rubbish. Yes, you do. Okay, that's my pastoral word to you this morning. Absolute rubbish. Yes, you do. Okay, three things to look at when you're looking about God. Where am I gifted? Number one, gifts from God will have three components. Number one, you'll be good at it. Long gone are the days where we accept preaching that says, never tell God what you hate and what you're rubbish at because he'll make you do that. Anyone else grow up on that? Yeah. Okay, me and Sue McGrath. Maybe we should just have a chat later. Okay. Grew up on, don't tell God where you don't want to be because that's where he's going to send you. Don't tell God what you don't want to do because he's going to make you do it. You know what? That is not God. If you are gifted from God, number one, you'll be good at it. Number two, you'll have opportunity to use that gift. You know, we have some people in this room who are phenomenal with children, who every day go to school or go to the nursery or go wherever it is that they go, where they come and, to parent and toddler or whatever it is. Why? Because you're gifted. That's your gift from God. You are brilliant at it, and you are going to be given opportunity to use the gift that he has given you. It's not always, what can I do standing up at the front of church? The thing that you do every single day is the thing that you are gifted in. Because it's the thing you have opportunity for. And then thirdly, you will love it. You will love to do it. You will love it. What is it that you love? Do you know what? We've just got to believe that as we trust God, he knows what's best for us. As we listen to God, he'll tell us what's best. And as we run to God, we realize, actually, God, we don't know what the best is. So we need to come and find out from you exactly what it is. But every day, you need to have time where you begin to develop your gift. One of my main gifts in what I do is preaching. I love preaching. Like love it. Always have done. Absolutely. If you can give me, you know, some time to preach someone, I'm going to do it, okay? Whoever it is, wherever they are, whatever it is they do, I'm going to do it. And I was really challenged by this about, you know, having time to develop that gift because I use it quite a lot. But actually, do I daily come and just go, God, just help me with this, just help me? And an opportunity came up. I saw this thing advertised on Facebook and it was partly for my husband. It's his birthday on Friday. I can say that, he's not here, okay? And it'll be too late once he listens to the podcast. All right, so it's his birthday on Friday. I'm like, what do you get a guy who's got everything and doesn't want anything? I mean, it's a real hard one, isn't it? I choose vouchers. Yeah, that's what math gets everyone, okay? And, you know, he wanted a ladder. And you guys will go, yes. And us women go, what? Okay. But we need one for at home. And but I saw this thing and I said to him, listen, let's just forget the ladder. I'll still get you the ladder if you want. But I saw there was Paul Scanlon, who is Matt's favorite ever preacher. Obviously second to me, but no, I'll bow to Paul Scanlon, that's fine. Okay, but he was doing something called a communications masterclass. And Matt is a teacher. He's a great, phenomenal communicator, brilliant when he preaches. I love preaching, love communicating. Actually, do you know what? Sometimes we just need to get better at it. And so we're booked in next Saturday. It's all the way down in Norwich, so it's a bit of a trek. But we're booked in to sit and just listen to Paul Scanlon, who, according to Matt, is one of the greatest communicators ever, other than me. But just to kind of sit and listen to him. And do you know what? It's making time for our gift. It's making time to develop what God has already given us. So every day, we need to have gift time. Thirdly, every day, we need to have grace time. Every day, we need to think about the grace that God has given us. Grace is the undeserved favor that we get from God all the time. We need to think about the grace that God has given us. And as well as thinking about the grace that God has given us, we need to show grace to other people. Who are those people in your world that you can just show grace to? It's undeserved. In fact, maybe they might even deserve the opposite. It's undeserved. Actually, we can show grace in how we speak, in what we do, in a kind gesture, in a smile. It could be anything. It doesn't need to cost us anything. But every day we have time where we begin to thank God for the grace he's given us and where we begin to extend grace to other people. Fourth thing that we should do every day. These things that we should do every day, they don't take major amounts of time. But every day have giving time. Growing yourselves enables you to grow others. How can you help grow? You know, if you're a parent in here, there are obvious people that you are meant to grow. And it's great when they come to church and they grow and they get great kids teaching and youth and all of that. But you know what? The major influence they should have on their life is you. Church does not grow my children. It helps, and it helps that we're here, and that my kids love the house of God. That all helps, but actually, on a daily basis, I do it. And so I told this story to our kids' team on mission, but my little boy became a Christian on mission the other week. Yeah, I think it's a little bit more exciting than that, but I sat with him on a Wednesday night, and we were talking about what had been going on in mission. I was putting him to bed. We were praying together, and which sounds really holy unless you ever heard one of Oliver's prayers. And we were talking about the story, and they had the wristband with the love heart and the cross and the other cross and the question mark, and talking about what Jesus did on the cross and all of that kind of stuff. And he knew what all the things meant on the wristband. And I said, you know what, Ollie? I said, I know that Auntie Liz on Friday is going to be talking about the question mark. He didn't quite get it. I said, you've got to decide, do you want to be friends with Jesus or not? And he looked at me as if to say, well, I already am. I said, but, you know, you say a prayer and it's called becoming a Christian. And you know, he's 5 years old and he's nodding at me, sat on his Spider-Man bed. And he just kind of looked and I said, Ollie, you know, good mum that I am. Ollie, actually, you know, we don't need to wait till Friday. How about I pray with you now? And he looked at me and he went, nah, I'll wait for Auntie Liz on Friday. I'm like, no! I had the moment with Caitlin where she gave her life to Jesus. And he's like, nah, I'll wait for Auntie Liz. Thanks, Mum. And so I just backed off and just was praying. I told the team. And on Friday, put his hand up. Ollie, did you put your hand up? Yeah. And what was that? What does that mean? It means I've decided to be a friend of Jesus. Absolutely fantastic, dude. Did you say the prayer? I said the prayer. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. And you know, I'm glad that we're a part of this. I'm glad that we're a part of a church that teaches our kids, you know, to love Jesus. But you know what? I have a responsibility too. And every day, if you have, you know, if you have friends that you meet with, if you have family that you get together with, if you're a parent, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, you already have the people in your world that you are meant to grow. So we need to have grow time. Who are you growing? How are you growing in God? And who are you growing? And then the last thing is that we need to have gratitude time every single day. You want to become a person who becomes thankful and who shows gratitude, then begin to do it every single day. Thank at least one person for something that they've done. Show gratitude. Doesn't matter what it's for. Show gratitude to someone. Your kids may be driving you insane. You can tell they've only just gone back to school, can't you? They may be driving you insane, but you can find one thing to say thank you for. Your partner, husband, wife may be driving you insane. Obviously, that never happens in our house. You can always find something to thank them for. Your workmates, your work colleagues, your school friends. Become a person who shows gratitude every single day. Do you know what? These things will never just happen someday. Someday you won't wake up and go, that's it, I'm that kind of person. Do you know what? Every day you need to do these things. Every day. Consistent. The law of consistency says if you do something for long enough, it will begin to have an effect and it will cause change and it will bring growth to you. And if we as a church know, if every single one of us sat in this room, made a decision every day to do those things over the next 12 months, I can guarantee there will be new people sat in our church. Why? Because your life will scream out to them. You're different. And they're going to want to know why. And you're going to get to lead them to Christ. It's not just going to be a Sunday thing. It's going to be a Monday thing, a Tuesday thing, a Wednesday thing, a Thursday thing, a Friday thing, a Saturday thing, over the garden fence to your neighbors. When you begin to live like this consistently, every single day, growth will happen. It's the law of consistency. The second one is this, the law of the mirror. Let me explain what I mean by that. The law of the mirror says this, that you see value in yourself so you can give value to others. Jesus said it a little bit differently. He said this, to love your neighbor like you love yourself. You can give value to others when you see value in yourself and in who you are. Three reasons why you are valuable. If you can't think of any reason this morning why your life is valuable, I'm about to give you three that you can't change, you can't argue with, because they're directly out of the Word of God. The first one is this, you are valuable because of who you are. Genesis 1, 26, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, having a chat about creation, and they come up with this, let us make man in our image. You are made in the image of God, and because of who you are valuable to God. You are made in His image. Doesn't matter what you look like, doesn't matter what your life is like, doesn't matter where you've come from, you are created. Every person in this world is created in the image of God. So you are valuable because of who you are. Number two, you are valuable because of what you cost. 1 John 4, 7 to 10 says this, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed His love. So you're valuable because of what you cost. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sin and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Do you know this morning, God placed the highest value on you. He gave His Son for your life. He gave His Son so He could have relationship with you. You are valuable because of what you cost. Are we getting this morning? You're valuable because of what you cost. Nothing that you could do could make God love you any more or any less. This morning, you are valuable because of all that you cost God. And thirdly, you are valuable because of what you can become. Philippians 1:6 says this, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. I said right at the beginning, Things start in small seed form, but God always gives it the agenda for growth. What God started in you, he wants to grow in you, and he wants to finish in you. And this morning, I want to encourage someone in this place. What you can become is not written by any man. It is determined by God. What you can become is not written by the people around you. It's not written by exam results. It's not written by, you know, the things that you go through. It's not written by, are you a success in your eyes or are you not? It's not written by anything like that. It is written by God. Everything that I could become in seed form was placed in me, and what I've got to do is let it grow and come out of me. Everything that you can become this morning is not determined by where you are right now. It's determined by a God who loves you and a God who placed so much value on you that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. It's the law of the mirror. How are we going to grow? By believing what God says over what we think. On those days that I have been down, I have had to pick myself up and believe what God says over my life rather than what I think and feel. Because what I think and feel tell me lies. But what God says tells me the truth. I am valuable because of who I am. I'm made in the image of God. I am valuable because of what I cost. I cost Jesus his life. And I am valuable because of who I could become. And this morning, whatever you are living in, I want to take some things out of the Bible. They're written down, but I just want you to not read them. I just want you to listen. There's no notes to take on this bit. I just wanted you to go away with it. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been this morning. You have a chance to decide to grow and to change. Because if you've ever lied like Abraham did, he will call you his friend. Abraham is called the friend of God. Yet Abraham messed up. He lied. He cheated. If you've ever done that this morning, he calls you his friend. If you cheated like Zacchaeus, he is willing to befriend you in front of your enemies. If you've blown all your money like the prodigal son, he waits for you with open arms, with no judgment, just arms wide open, wanting to love on you. If you've been despised like the Samaritan woman, he will sit down and talk with you. If you've been caught in adultery, he will forgive you in front of your accusers. He won't forgive in private what others have accused in public. He will forgive you in front of all of that. If you've denied him like Peter, he will give you a second chance. If you are unclean, he will touch you. I love that. If you are in prison, he will visit you. If you are hungry, he will feed you. If you are the only one lost out of 100 people, he will leave them and he will come and find you. The law of the mirror. You are valuable. And if everyone in this room this morning knew God and you were the only one who didn't and you wandered out of this room, and if Jesus was physically here, he'd leave all of us to go and find you. Why? Because you're valuable. If we're going to grow in God, we've got to get this in our minds. We are valuable to him. A changed view of God will cause you to run to him, listen to him, but most of all, it will cause you to trust him. I don't know if you've ever looked over a period of your life and wished that you could go back. Wish you could change something. Wish you could go back and undo something that you did, or take back something that you said, or, you know, I've heard it called, I was listening to a preacher this week, it's called, and the preacher called it, have you ever wanted to go back and have a do-over? Have you ever wanted to go back and relive a moment of your life? Do you know what? This morning, God wants you to know that even in those situations where you want to do over, even in those situations where you think you mucked it up, God wants you to know today that when He comes, when He gets involved in your life, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, God removes those things from us. That we don't come to Him this morning and have to plead anything with Him. But this morning, if we can only grasp how valuable we are to Him, if we can change our view of God that says our time with Him, He wants as much as we want. If we can come to God, run to Him, trust Him, listen to Him, our lives will begin to grow. For us to grow through change, we have to start and put some of these things into place in our lives every day. Every day, tomorrow, today, when you get home. You know, before you go to bed tonight, when you're brushing your teeth, and the mirror's in front of you, begin to talk to yourself, not in a crazy way, but begin to look at yourself and go, do you know what? You are valuable. You are made in the image of God. You cost Jesus His life. And you can become whatever God wants you to become. Your life isn't defined by where you are now or where you have been. It's going to be defined by where you go and what you're going to do. Your best days are ahead of you. You need to tell yourself that when you get up tomorrow morning and you look in the mirror, and if you're anything like I'm going, oh, I don't look like that when I've just done my hair. Yeah. In that state, the same things apply. Look yourself in the mirror every day. Try it every day for a month. See the change that it begins to bring in you. You may say it the first day and feel an absolute idiot. You may say it the second week and go, don't feel any change. But eventually, you'll begin to catch up with what you're saying. This morning, you're valuable. And if we will consistently begin to tell ourselves that, begin to live in that, change will come and growth will come. We will grow in our relationship with God and we will grow the people around us. Do you know what? Let's take this opportunity to change some things in our lives. This is the first time you've heard this. I've been planning this all week. And every time I've read it, it's challenged me. I was sat reading it again last night. Challenged me. And this morning, we're going to pray. Let's just all close our eyes. And the first thing I want to say, just got two things. Number one, if you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, maybe today's the first time you've heard that you are valuable to God. If you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to get to know Him. And so this morning, I'm going to say a prayer in a moment that I'm going to get everybody to repeat. This morning, if you're here saying, I've never found anything out about this God, but actually some of what you said, I like that. I want to find more out about Him. I want to become a Christian. I just want to raise your hand quickly now while everyone else is brilliant. While everyone else is just praying, just got their eyes closed. Anyone else? You're valuable this morning to God. God adores you. Okay, we've had one person respond. So we're going to say the prayer this morning. If you can help me, those of you who are Christians in here, and we're helping leading someone into the greatest relationship they will ever have in their lives. So we're ready. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm valuable to you. Thank you that you paid the cost for my life. This morning, God, I give my life back to you. Sorry for all the things I've done wrong. And help me, God, to realize my value in your eyes and to change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing. Last thing. If you're in here this morning and just, you know that you've got to make some of those changes. Motivation will be the start. Discipline will take you on from there. But let's look at the motivation this morning that we've had. You know, and some of those things that I've been talking about, those things we need to do every day. You want to make a decision this morning. I am going to put those things into my life. I want you to stand to your feet now. I just want to pray for you. And then we're going to be finished. Stand to your feet now, those things. And it starts today. Starts today. Going to do them today. Which is why we're giving you the notes to take away with you. So you all know what the five things are. And you might think of some of your own, and that's great. Go and do those as well, okay? But we're going to come. We're going to make that decision today, God. I'm going to consistently decide to change my walk with you. Father, I thank you for every person stood right now. God, I pray that this week, God, will be a life-changing week. God, that this week will be absolutely incredible. Father God, that this week, as we begin the journey to make small changes that will equal great growth, Lord God, I pray that this morning, God, you will just do something incredible in us. God, that this motivation we've got will not stay as much. But God, it will turn into discipline and consistency, Father. Lord, we don't want to make one decision on Sunday, Father God, and I've forgotten about it by Wednesday. Lord, I pray that God, that this morning, the decisions that we are making, God, will be ones that will change us and grow us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.